Okay, so what I'm going to do is, first thing I'm going to do is explain to you what most Christians believe about their religion, okay? This is called the Orthodox or the canonical perspective. Okay, so this is what you're taught officially by the church. Christianity has many different factions, but they all believe in a certain interpretation of the Bible, okay? Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the apocryphal. Apocryphal. Apocryphal just means hidden, okay? Or secret, or esoteric. Just a secret knowledge that is kept within these secret societies. All right, so the Orthodox canonical comes from a reading of the Bible. And the Bible, at its core, is a story of the covenant between God and humans, okay? Covenant. Covenant means contract or understanding. So throughout the Bible, there are a series of covenants, okay? The first covenant is between Adam and God. So you may have heard of the story of the Garden of Eden, right? God creates the universe, then creates the Garden of Eden, where he puts Adam and Eve. And God says to Adam and Eve, this is paradise. You don't have to work. Just enjoy life. The food is free. The food is plentiful. Every day you'll be happy and free of want. You will live forever. But there's only one thing that you must not do. And only one thing, okay? Whatever you do, do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Just don't do that and you'll be okay. So of course, what do Adam and Eve do? They eat the stupid fruit, okay? So then what God does is he banishes Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, and now they're forced to work to grow food to feed themselves, okay? And this leads to society, okay, development of society. God looks down from the heavens and sees that humans now are going to war. They are fighting their private property. And God says, I don't want this crap. This is not why I created humans. Okay? So he's like, you know what? I'm going to destroy everyone and start over. But then he sees a human that he likes named Noah. And this leads to God saying to Noah, build a ship, build an ark, and save yourself because I will flood the universe. I will destroy the world. So God destroys the world and Noah lives. And then God says to Noah, you know what? That's kind of silly. I shouldn't destroy the universe. I promise never ever destroy the world again. Okay, that is his covenant with Noah. But God sees that humans are still wicked and evil. And he says, you know what? I need to find a man who is good. And I need him to grow a nation that can be the light of the world, that will be the best example of what it means to be a good person. So he finds a man named Abraham, and Abraham, of course, is the father of a nation called Israel. And so this is the third covenant. God says to Abraham, you and your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren are now loyal to me. I see you as the chosen people, and I give you the promised land. Okay, that's what Israel is, a promised land. Over time, what happens is that Abraham and his people, they go off to Egypt. And in Egypt, they become slaves to the Pharaoh of Egypt. And then God is like, you know what? I should check up on the Israelites and see how they're doing. He looks down and he says, oops, they're now slaves to the Pharaoh. So I need now to fix this, okay? So he appoints a man named Moses to free the Israelites from Egypt and take them back to the promised land. When Moses does this, God says, now what you must do is give the Israelites my law, the Ten Commandments. Okay? The law. Because otherwise, I can't trust you guys to behave. Okay? So now this is the fourth covenant. So now the Israelites are back in the promised land, but again, and even though there's laws, they still become wicked and they start to worship false gods. So God punishes them, and God is now looking for a good leader, of the Israelites. And then finally, he finds a person named David, who becomes the king of the Israelites. And God says to David, you are the person I've been looking for all of eternity. You are the best example of what it means to be a faithful follower of me, Yahweh. Okay? And so this is something called the Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant states that God will always favor Israel as the chosen nation. And the house of David will rule Israel forever. Okay? So guys, quick question here. Who wrote the Bible? Probably this guy, okay? Right? If you had to guess who wrote the Bible, probably not Moses, probably not Abraham, probably not Noah, probably not Adam, probably this guy, okay? Because he's saying that all of these five, okay, I am the best. I'm the person that God loves the most. My family will rule the world because that is God's will. Okay? Now, of course, that's not what happens. Eventually, David has a son named Solomon, and these two are considered the two best rulers of Israel. And this is what we call the Davidic kingdom, okay? The Davidic kingdom, the golden age of Israel. But after Solomon, the Israelites turn wicked again, and then God has to punish them and scatter Israel across the world, okay? And so the last covenant is the arrival of Jesus. What Jesus does is that, first of all, he reasserts the law of Moses and say to the Israelite people, remember Moses and his law, because that's what God wants. And then he sacrifices himself in order to free the Israelites of the original sin, right? Because God's pissed off at people because people ate the fruit. That's the original sin. That's the first crime of disobedience against God. So by killing himself, Jesus frees humanity of the original sin. He redeems humanity. Okay? Now, the last thing that Jesus does is he creates a new covenant, okay? A new covenant between humanity and God. From now on, because Jesus has freed everyone from the original sin, everyone can now be with God. You don't have to be Israelite. You don't have to follow the Mosaic law. You don't even have to come from the family of David. Anyone and everyone can now love God, and God will love that person back, okay? And this, of course, starts Christianity, all right? So this, guys, is called Judaism, what the Jews believe, okay? And this is all six is what Christians believe, Christianity. All right, the first five covenants are what Jews believe to be true. But they do believe that eventually someone will return to restore the kingdom of David, okay? But not Jesus. Not Jesus. The Christians believe that Jesus is the final prophet. Okay? In fact, Jesus is God himself. That's why it's called Christianity. Because they believe in Jesus Christ. So this is the entire history of Judaism and Christianity. What they believe, officially. Any questions? Before I move on. Okay, so now as you can understand, if you are a true Christian or you're a true Jew, there are actually lots of issues with this understanding. Okay? The first issue is, why did God have to kick us out of the Garden of Eden? I mean, was eating of fruit so bad as to banish us from paradise? Like, what was wrong with eating that fruit? Okay, that's a great mystery in the religion. Why did the original sin happen? And why was God so angry? Second problem is Noah. I mean, like, God destroyed the world because we were wicked. But after he destroyed the world, we were still wicked. So why did God have to destroy the world in the first place? If he's God, then should he understand how humans are? Wouldn't he understand that destroying the world would just, I mean, it doesn't really do anything, okay? So that's kind of strange. The last problem is Jesus. Who was Jesus? And why did he have to kill himself? Why did God have to send his only son to die for humanity? Okay, so if you're new to Christianity, The very idea of Jesus actually doesn't make much sense to you. I grew up in the West. I grew up in a Christian world, and it never made sense to me, okay? People told me about how great Jesus was, like, okay, the story doesn't make any sense. So if you're a really smart person, there are lots of questions about this interpretation of the Bible, and these are the three major ones. Okay? So now what I will do now is I'll explain to you what the esoteric, what secret societies believe really happened. Okay? So I want to start with Noah. Why did God destroy the world? The reason why God destroyed the world is not because of humans, but because of something else. These people are called the Nephilim. Nephilim. Okay, also, by the way, if you guys are interested in learning more, there are two books that are not part of the Bible, but which will give you insight into the esoteric knowledge, okay? The first is called the Book of Enoch. Book of Enoch. The second is called the Gospel of Thomas. Okay? All right. So I am using these two books as sources for my explanation, okay? So the Nephilim are children of angels and women. Okay? So what happened was that the angels who were supposed to watch humanity came down and saw, wow, these humans, these females are really beautiful. So what do? Well, they have sex with them, right? And then what happens? They have lots and lots of children. And what do these children do? These children enslave humanity. These people are called Nephilim, okay? So if you want to understand what happened, let's do a thought experiment. Let's just say that there's this group of superhumans called the Avengers. You know, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, okay? And they fight Thanos and they save the world. And now what do? Well, they're bored, so they start to have lots and lots of sex. They have lots and lots of children. And these children now are like demigods, right? So what do? Well, they enslave humanity. But then what do? Well, they start fighting amongst themselves. Okay, so that's basically what happened. So God had to destroy the Nephilim because they are not natural. Angels and humans are not supposed to have sex with each other. And this creates a new power called the Nephilim. The problem, though, is the Nephilim are divine, and therefore, they cannot be killed. So you can get rid of their mortal bodies, but now they become demons who live underground and are in the shadows. And guess what, guys? They're still here today. So these two societies, they believe the Nephilim are real, and they still control the world. The richest people in the world are actually Nephilim. Okay? Because they've been around for thousands of years, and therefore they're able to control the development of humanity. Okay, so they're called the Nephilim. So that's easy to understand. But now the question then is, wait a minute, why did Adam eat that fruit, and why did Jesus have to kill himself? Well, now it gets really complicated, okay? So now I need to explain to you what the secret societies believe, okay? Remember, they believe that mind leads to matter. What does that mean? Okay, let me explain what this means. Mind leads to matter. In the beginning, the true God is called the monad. Okay, the one. So just think of this as the core of the universe, the sun, the divine sun. The monad is so powerful that when he breathes, okay, he vibrates divine energy. And over millions of years, this divine energy creates new life forms. Okay, so the first life form are called the dyads. Dyads are just pairs, okay, usually male, female, that are children of the monad. And they're able, by themselves, to create new universes as well, okay? So the dyads start to emanate, okay? So the entire universe is vibration. It's vibrational energy. It's the breathing of these cosmic beings, okay? And over time, over millions of years, these vibrations become atoms, which then leads to matter, okay? That's what they mean by mind leads to matter. Now, one of these dyads, named Sophia, decides, you know what? I can be just as good as the monad. What does the monad do? The monad is able to propagate by itself, by himself. He doesn't need to mate. So Sophia says, you know what? I'm going to produce something by myself. I'm going to have a child by myself to prove I am the monad, okay? So she does this, and she creates a new being, okay? A new being. This is called the demiurge. There are different names. We'll call them the demiurge. The demiurge is a monster, a monstrosity, because it goes against the natural order. So then Sophia is like, oops, I shouldn't have done that. So what does she do? She abandons the monstrosity. She throws him away and hides him in a sea of clouds. So no one knows he actually exists. Okay? Even the demiurge doesn't know he exists. The demiurge does not know about this world, right? Therefore, he believes that he must be the one true God, capable of creating new life. So what does he create? Us. Okay? He creates the planet Earth. And then he creates Adam and Eve. Okay? That's what a monster would do, okay? Look at this history. What kind of God would kick someone out of paradise for eating a fruit? A monster would do it, right? What kind of God would kill a people for no particular reason? A monster would do that, okay? What kind of God would demand that a people be loyal to that person? A monster. What kind of God would enforce his will on a people? A monster. What kind of God would say to someone, you're the only person I like, everyone else I hate? A monster would do that. Okay? So, in other words, the true secret that these secret societies are trying to keep is the God we worship today, it's the false God. And we are actually in a prison created by this false God. And that's who Jesus was. Jesus was a cosmic being sent by the monad to tell us the truth about the world. And that's why he died. Because the Roman Empire could not allow people to see the truth. If I told you the truth, you would know it right away. You would wake up. Therefore, the truth tellers must be killed. Okay? So that's what these secret societies believe. They believe that the monad exists, and the mind of the monad is what creates the universe. And Jesus was sent to remind us that even though we're in a prison, there's still the monad in you. There's a spark in you, a divine light in you that you can activate. And if you activate it, then you will return to the monad. You will see the truth for yourself. And when you die, your soul, which is part of the monad, will want to return to the monad and can escape this world. But to activate this light, you must be a good person. You must love one another. You must reject money and materialism. And grades, okay? Grades in school. You must reject competition. You must reject material wealth in order to pursue spiritual happiness. Okay? That was the message of Jesus. Now you can imagine that the powers that be, the Nephilim, would not like this, okay? It's a direct threat to Nephilim, who now control the prison created by the Demiurge. It's also a direct threat to the Demiurge. And that's why these secret societies have been, over the centuries, been repressed, been executed, okay, been massacred. But they believe that it is their duty to protect the secret, because only by protecting the secret can humanity be ultimately saved. Right? Does that make sense? Okay, any questions? All right? So you have the official version, which is what you're taught in school, but now you have the secret version that is only taught in secret societies.